Welcome to Purposeful Profit, where I'll help you take your business to the next level. I'm Carla Motes, finance and strategy coach and fractional CFO for high-achieving female entrepreneurs. I'm here to empower women to build wildly profitable businesses that give them the freedom to live their dream lives. I'll use my more than 30 years of finance and consulting experience to take the mystery out of your finances, help you make more money, and go after your next big thing. Hi there, and welcome back to the Purposeful Profit Podcast. I'm your host, Carla Motes, and I am a financial mentor and coach and a financial whisperer for female founders. My mission is to help you get your finances in order and put more profit in your pocket. So today we're going to talk about taxes. Here in the States, the U.S. individual tax deadline is just a few weeks away. Many of you listening to this podcast have an LLC, and today's podcast is really for you. I'm going to give you a primer on how to file your taxes for your LLC. When I get inquiries from listeners, from clients, prospective clients, I often get a lot of questions around, I'm not sure how to file my taxes. And today we're going to answer those questions for you. Just a little disclaimer I'm going to put in place here. This is being recorded in March of 2024. Tax laws change frequently and they can be complicated. The podcast was recorded in 2024 and was based on current tax law, but please consult your personal tax advisor for any changes. Okay, so let's dive in. First, before I go into the meat of today's episode, let's put something, you know, out there. U.S. tax law is complicated. It can be overwhelming. Back when I was in public accounting, we referred to the U.S. tax system as like the Accountant's Full Employment Act. If it wasn't for how complicated our tax system was, we would have a lot of unemployed accountants. I do think as a business owner, it is really important to understand the basics, even if you hire a preparer. I see a lot of people who start their business and they hire somebody, a tax advisor up front, and they really just completely delegate it to that person. And it's not that you need to have the knowledge to prepare your return yourself. But I do think it's really important for you, just like anything you outsource, to have a basic knowledge that you can ask intelligent questions and just to be curious. So, you know, informed business owners make better decisions and they ask better questions. Tax software, and even better, a good tax preparer is going to make your tax preparation easier and help automate your compliance. And please, for the love of God, under no circumstances should you complete your taxes manually. When I came out of college, I'll age myself a little bit here, but when I came out of college, it was near as automated, obviously, than it is now. We still had we called them tax planners. It was like this, you know, I don't know, 3 or 4 inch package of paper that would go to our clients each year that they would have to fill out manually with all of their different information. All this is automated now. So use tax software if you decide to do it yourself. Most tax software will take you through each question like an interview format because, you know, the question comes up is, can I do my own taxes? I always advise my clients to get a pro. In full disclosure, I currently do my own taxes. This is probably the last year I will. They're getting complicated enough and that I'll probably outsource it next year. But I come from an accounting and tax background. I took taxation classes in college. I keep up on, you know, tax changes. So, you know, I feel fairly competent. If I was an S-Corp, which I'm not right now, if I was an S-Corp, I would definitely be hiring somebody to do it. But if you're an LLC, you're filing your taxes on a Schedule C if you're a single owner. And, you know, it can be done. But if you do, again, use tax software because it's just going to make your process a lot easier. If you are thinking about doing it on your own, here's some things to think about. How good are your records? And what's your time worth? I can do my individual taxes because I've been doing them for so many years. I can do them probably in about a third or fourth of the time that it's going to take the average non-accountant to do their taxes. So how much is your time worth? How sure are you that you'll capture all possible deductions? Again, these tax softwares have questionnaires and interviews type style built into them to try and capture them. But even then, you really need to know what the question's asking. So, you know, how comfortable are you that you're going to capture your deductions? How knowledgeable are you on what's considered a legitimate business expense? Were you preparing your taxes before you had a business? You know, so You know, have you been doing your taxes before? Are you a single member or multi-member LLC? I never advise people to file more specialized returns like a partnership return, and we're going to talk later that if you are a multi-member LLC, you have to file a partnership return. I never advise clients to do that. The most I would ever advise a client to do is a Schedule C. And again, how complicated is the rest of your tax return? You know, if all you have is your business or maybe a day job, or maybe a spouse has a job and then you have your business, that's really not all that complicated. But when you get into having investments that you're selling, capital gains taxes, rental properties, second homes, things get a lot more complicated. Okay? So let's talk a little bit now and get into like our primer on LLCs. So first off is that one of the key features of an LLC is that its status is what's called a pass-through entity for tax purposes. A pass-through entity is just a term we use in the accounting and tax world. It basically means that the LLC itself does not pay taxes on its income. Instead, all of the income and expenses pass through to the owners of the LLC who are going to report it on their individual tax return. So there is no federal LLC return. And so everything that you have, your revenue and expenses, isn't going to pass through and it's going to get reported on your personal return. This can result in some tax advantages for LLC owners because they avoid the double taxation that can occur with what's called a C corporation. A C corporation pays taxes on its income, and then the shareholders get taxes on their dividends received. So think about it this way. If you have stock in, say, let's just say Apple, Apple Corporation pays taxes on its income, and then they distribute dividends to you. And you then turn around and pay taxes on those dividends. This is what they call double taxation. LLCs aren't the only pass-through entity out there. S-Corps are also a pass-through entity. But again, just means that it's the entity is not filing their own taxes. It's passing through to the individual. By default, an LLC that is a single member is going to be taxed as a sole proprietor. So essentially, if you have an LLC, you're going to pay taxes and report your taxes the same way as if you did not have an LLC, if you are the only owner. Okay. So for a while, I was a sole proprietor and did not have my LLC, and I reported them and then, you know, the same way that I report them, you know, once I have my LLC. An LLC can also elect to be taxed as an S-Corp by filing Form 2553. S-Corp taxes are more involved, and they're not part of this episode, okay? I did a recent episode on the differences between LLC and S-Corp taxation. You can go back and take a listen to that if you want. I'll drop the link in the show notes, okay? And there are two basic parts of federal taxes to an LLC, okay? You have self-employment taxes. Okay, so self-employment taxes are taxes paid by individuals who work for themselves, including LLC owners or sole proprietors. This tax is similar to the Social Security and Medicare taxes that are paid by employees and are used to fund these programs. So when you pay your self-employment tax, this is funding your future Social Security and your future Medicare. And if you have, you know, when you were, or if you are a W-2 employee or your kid's a W-2 employee of a business, when you get your paycheck, the business is paying half of the Social Security and Medicare, and then they're deducting the other half from you. So each half is 7.65% in total. So if you have a paycheck, you know, for $1,000, they're going to deduct 7.65% of that out as Social Security and Medicare. They'll also take out your federal and state income tax. But then the company is going to pay 7.65% as well. You don't even see this. And I think a lot of times that's why when people get this self, when they get into the self-employment tax and they see the rate, they're shocked at how high the rate is, because they don't really think about the fact that as a W-2 employee, they're really only paying half of the federal government's total requirement for Social Security and Medicare. So your self-employment tax rate is 15.3%. It's equivalent to both the employer and the employee shares. I just said that your half of, you know, as a W-2 employee, that your half that got deducted was 7.65%. Double 7.65, which is the employer and the employee share combined, and you get 15.3. That's what you're going to pay in self-employment taxes as a self-employed person. It gets applied against your net earnings from your business. So you take your revenue, less all of your eligible expenses, and based on that number, you're going to pay self-employment tax. And you report your self-employment taxes on Schedule SE of your 1040. Again, don't get too caught up in the form number I'm giving them here, again, to educate you. But if you are doing your taxes yourself and when you go to use your automated software, it will calculate and it'll put it on the correct form for you. Okay. You also then pay, of course, income taxes on your net earnings. I mean, this isn't news to anybody, right? The federal government takes a piece of your income. LLC owners do get to deduct half of their self-employment taxes from their taxable income. So let's say, for instance, you have $100K in net earnings or net profit. Okay, you're going to have $15,300 in self-employment taxes, but then you're going to get to deduct $7,650 of that from the $100K. And that difference is what you're going to pay income taxes on it, whatever your income tax rate is. Okay. This deduction gets reported on Schedule 1 of your additional income and adjustments to income form on the 1040. Again, don't worry too much about the form number. When your tax preparer will do this for you, or if you're doing your taxes yourself, you'll enter your information and the tax software will put it on the correct form for you. Okay, so that's just the basics. You know, you're understanding that you're basically paying taxes in two pieces. The income taxes is a surprise. It's the self-employment tax that often leads to small business owners, especially as their profit gets higher and higher, and that 15.3 becomes a much larger amount. Because again, if you think about it, if I have $100,000 in profit, I'm paying $15,300 in self-employment taxes. Where if I was collecting $100,000 in salary, I'd be paying $7,650 in Social Security and Medicare. So that's usually where the sticker shock comes in when people have their own businesses and they start looking at their taxes. Now let's talk about specifically how you file your taxes. So if you're a single member LLC, okay, then you're going to report your business income and expenses on Schedule C, which is profit or loss from a business, of your 1040. Okay, there are different lines on this form. You know, there's a line that says revenue, and I think there's a line that says discounts and refunds. There's categories for advertising, auto expense. There's a bunch of different categories. And then there's an other miscellaneous category, which is where you capture anything that doesn't fall into, you know, one of the other categories. Okay, and you need to report all of your income from your business. Okay, if you get paid in cash, it's your responsibility as a taxpayer to report that income. And one of the things I'll bring up here too is I see a lot of discussion around why, you know, if I didn't get a 1099, do I have to report that income? Yes, absolutely. The 1099 is really just for the IRS to try to catch people under reporting income. But whether you get a 1099 or not, it's your responsibility as a taxpayer to report your income on your tax return. Okay, and then you're going to deduct expenses in accordance with IRS guidelines. Okay, and IRS has all kinds of, you know, articles out there you can find. Most of your business expenses are going to be fully deductible. If there are certain transactions like meals and entertainment, for the most part, that are only partially deductible. For instance, meals, generally speaking, if you're just going out to lunch, I talked to somebody the other day who was like, I'm going to go to the coffee shop and work, and I'm going to have, you know, snack and some coffee. That's really not deductible because you really did not have a business reason to go there. You would have had to eat anyway. Okay. Now, had she been meeting with a associate and been discussing business there and had a meeting there, then she could make the case that it was a legitimate business expense. But even then, it would only be 50% deductible. We went through a period a few years ago during COVID where they made almost all meals and entertainment 100% deductible. That was a temporary thing because, frankly, the restaurant industry was in the toilet and they were trying to encourage people to go out and spend more money in the restaurants during COVID because it was causing a hit on the economy. We had a lot of restaurant workers, unfortunately, who lost their jobs. I have a brother who works in the restaurant industry, and they were slammed really hard. But it's always historically been that meals and entertainment are 50% deductible. That goes back, you know, to when I was taking, you know, taxes in college. Typical expenses you can deduct include your business coach, training and education, conferences, workshops, office supplies, office rent, advertising. Sometimes I'll get the question about, you know, Can I deduct coaching expenses? Most definitely, if it's business coaching, you know, it's helping you in your business, deduct it. Where things you really can't deduct is you're stretching it when you say, well, I'm going to hire a weight loss coach, and if I lose weight, I'll have more energy for my business. that's really, you know, a personal coach isn't really deductible unless you can tie it to a business purpose. Okay. And this is where, again, your tax advisor can come in to play and give you some guidance on this and as to what's deductible and what's not. Travel is deductible when it's necessary and ordinary, but that trip to Costa Rica so you can work on the beach while you have one in-person meeting is probably not going to be deductible. But again, ways you can work with your tax advisor is there are ways to structure trips so that at least parts of the trip can be deductible. So again, work with your tax advisor on that. So, you know, if I'm going to Costa Rica for 10 days, and I'm spending 2 days of that in meetings or on a business conference, I can deduct those 2 days, but I'm not going to be able to deduct the entire 10 days of the trip. Okay. And again, you're going to report your self-employment tax on Schedule SE. So you're going to report your revenue expenses on Schedule C. It's based on that. You're going to calculate your 15.3, and that's going to go up on Schedule SE. If you're a multi-member LLC, okay, so you formed your LLC with one or more people, you're treated as a partnership for federal tax purposes, okay? And a multi-member LLC needs to file a Form 1065, which is a partnership return, okay? And this form reports the LLC's income deductions and other relevant information. It's similar, it's kind of like the 1120S, which is the tax return for an S-Corp. So again, you're everything's still going to flow through to your personal return, but you do have a federal return you have to file. And this is why I don't suggest if you have a multi-member LLC, get a tax consultant to do your tax return. That LLC will also issue a Schedule K-1 to each member. And a K-1 basically reports each member's share of the income and deductions or income and expenses. So again, let's just say I have a LLC with $300,000 in income and $200,000 in expenses, and I am a 50% member of the LLC, I'm going to get a K-1, and I'm going to report $150,000 of the revenue, and I'm going to report $100,000 of the expenses. So I'm going to end up reporting $50,000 of the profits going to flow through to me, $50,000 is going to flow through to my business partner. Okay. And then you're going to report your income and expenses on Schedule E, which is supplemental income and loss of the 1040. Kind of similar to the Schedule C, it's just that instead of your revenue and expenses going on Schedule C, they're going to go on Schedule E. Again, your tax software, usually if you're hiring somebody to do your 1065, they're going to do all of your returns. You're not going to have to worry about it. But if for some reason you hire somebody just to do your 1065, you get the K-1 and then you're going to do your personal return. Same kind of thing. The interview format's going to take you through and you know, answer your question. It's going to put it on the right form. Okay. And like a single member, you're also going to file self-employment taxes on Form SE. Let's talk about state taxes. So this is one of those things that you really need to get curious about, because some states will have required filings or taxes for LLCs, as LLCs are covered by state statutes. So for instance, here in Illinois, I don't have to file an LLC return. Okay. I don't have extra fees. Other than any type of registration fees I have to do. I don't have a specific, like a tax on LLCs. I don't have to file an informational return. But that's not the case in every state. So make sure that you understand your state tax laws and consult your state tax authorities or your tax advisor if you have questions. Another thing I want to talk about are some other deductions. These are deductions that aren't necessarily going to be in, say, your bookkeeping system. I use QuickBooks, and so the three things I'm going to talk about here are not things that I would capture inside my bookkeeping system. One is mileage. For 2023, it was 65.5 cents per mile. Back in the day, when I took tax classes back at my college, I went to Virginia Tech, where I was an accounting major, it was 27.5 cents per mile. So it's gone up quite a bit. Trips to and from your main place of business isn't deductible. So if you have an office, your trip to and from your office is not deductible. Okay. But other trips, travel to other locations or clients is. Okay. So for example, one of the main applications of this, I think, for lifestyle businesses, service business owners, many of us who work from home, is you deduct your mileage for your networking events. I will travel to networking events, both within my own town, where it's maybe only a few miles. I've also driven, you know, to another town 20, 30 miles away. And I can deduct my mileage for that, and it adds up. Okay. I think last year I had a deduction for almost $800 in mileage. So it does add up. Keep track of it. There's different apps out there that you can use to track your mileage. If you are on QuickBooks, you can download the QBO app and you can actually track your mileage right within the QBO app, which is what I do. And then let's talk about home office deductions. This is a deduction for the portion of your home that is used regularly and exclusively for your business purposes. And those two words are really important. It needs to be used regularly. If you just use it, you know, once or twice a year, that doesn't count. It's got to be regular and it's got to be exclusive. That means if you do work at your dining room table and your kid also does his homework, it doesn't qualify. Okay, but you can deduct expenses related to that portion, such as mortgage, interest, insurance, utilities, repairs. And the deduction can be calculated using the simplified method, which for 2023 was $5 per square foot of the home, up to 300 square feet to a max of $1,500, or the regular method, which is what most people are going to use because it's going to be higher. And that's based on the percentage of the home used for business. Okay. The only caveat I will put is home office deductions is historically this has been what I call an audit trigger. The way the IRS system works is they have an algorithm out there that basically looks for certain things that they believe are abused. And those things are more likely to trigger an audit. So home office deductions is one of them. You know, the person who builds an addition onto his house and, you know, it's got a bedroom and a kitchen and it's a cabana for the pool and it's got this little tiny spot in it that's an office that he doesn't even use exclusively for an office and he tries to deduct addition to his house. Those kind of things, home office deduction has just historically been something that the IRS finds gets abused. So just make sure that you've dotted your I's and crossed your T's if you're going to do a home office deduction. By all means, take it if you meet the requirements, but just make sure you understand the rules, you know, before you take that deduction. And then, of course, retirement contributions, okay? You can deduct contributions made to retirement plans, such as an SEP IRA, a simple IRA, or a solo 401k. These contributions can help reduce your taxable income. You can put into Roth IRAs as well. Deduction limits and rules vary depending on the type of retirement plan. But definitely, if you are somebody who is, you know, thinking that your tax bill is going to be a big bill this year, you know, it's too late for 2023, but you can definitely be planning that for 2024. You can be, you know, talk to somebody about setting up a SEP IRA, you know, make monthly contributions to an IRA or a Roth IRA so that you can save some money in taxes at the end of the year. This is not an exhaustive list, and this is where a really good tax advisor can come into play. The work I do with my clients as well, we do a tax strategy session as a part of our work together where we go through and we identify potential tax savings moves that they can make. And most software packages, again, we'll take you through a series of questions to help identify these. And it's not the same as a human. And the other thing is to take advantage of a lot of these, particularly like the retirement contributions, you need to plan ahead. You know, you can't be waiting until February to find out, oh my God, I got this huge tax bill, because at that point it's too late to make the retirement contributions. I always advise people at minimally in Q4 to be having a meeting with your tax advisor to start to take a look at what your tax bill is going to be like. This is one of the reasons it's important to keep your books throughout the year and not wait until March or, you know, February, March, April to figure out, you know, how much revenue and expenses you had, because at that point it's really too late to do anything about the prior tax year. Be going in Q4, working with your tax advisor and start to get a, you know, feel for, you know, here's my revenue and my expenses, here's my profit, what's my tax bill likely going to look like, what are things I can be doing in Q4 to save some money on taxes. At the same time, I'll tell people, don't just load up on expenses to avoid taxes. That's not a good financial strategy. One of the best ways to know if you are, you know, being successful is that you are paying taxes. If you're not paying any taxes, avoid taxes, if you, you know, in legitimate ways. But I will sometimes see people just wanting to spend at the end of the year to avoid taxes. And if there's a legitimate reason, like you're pulling expenses from 1 year into the preceding year, that makes sense. But if you're just spending money to spend money, you're not, you know, you're really, you know, defeating the purpose. Okay. So I hope this helped you understand how to get those LLC taxes filed. Consult a good tax professional. Make sure you understand your financials. Have good records. Don't wait until the end of the year to be looking at your numbers. And if you want some support with that, I invite you to book a free financial health assessment at www.carlamoats.com/work with me, and we can continue this conversation. And I will see you next week. Thanks so much for listening to the show. Remember that your finances deserve some love. Finance doesn't have to be complicated or overwhelming, and you do not have to do it alone. I'd love to talk to you about your business, so please come on over to www.carlamoats.com to learn more. Or if you're ready for financial and strategy support that will uplevel your business, go to www.carlamoats.com/work with me to book your free financial assessment. And the last favor I'll ask is for you to help me get out the word. Tell your friends about this podcast and share it on your favorite social media. Until next week, go create some purposeful profit.